We are doing a series, a two-part series called Graves into Gardens. And we sung that song this morning. So this is part one of a two-part series. And so I'm going to pray that as I minister this now word, that you're going to actually personally receive something from the Lord. So maybe you want to do something to just indicate, hey, I'm ready to receive. Maybe put your hand on your heart or raise your hand and say, hey, this is an indication that I am ready to receive all that God has for me. Father God, this morning I thank you, Father God, because, Lord, you specialize in resurrection. And Lord, I just pray that every heart would be lifted, would be, Father God, new life would be breathed into every heart, into every mind this morning. And Father God, I pray that people would go, Father God, with purpose, with vision, with hope, after they have heard your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you came into church this morning, every one of us, including me, came with a whole lot of circumstances. And all of us, as we sit there today, have this collection, this package deal of issues, of circumstances, of challenges, of problems that we are right now currently facing. And I'm aware for some of you what those circumstances are, because in the last few months, or you know, maybe even before that, you've actually come and shared with me in my office some of the challenges that you're facing. And we've talked together, we've prayed together, we've cried together. And so as I share with you this morning, I want you to know that we are so aware in this incredibly difficult season of COVID and all that that brings, that there are those of you who have been affected by employment, you've been affected with your security of your homes and mortgages and all of the different splashing effects that this whole pandemic has brought to our lives in all different sorts of forms, some greater, some in a lesser form. And I also know that there's those amongst you who have recently lost loved ones, and you're going through the grief and the heartache of what that looks like, a new normal for you. And so there's so many different circumstances that each of us face. And there are those of you here as well this morning. I've actually known some of you for many, many years. And I know your families, and I know that there is some generational challenges that you've faced in your families. And I want you to know this morning that as we share God's word, that I walk with you and I stand with you on your journey. And maybe today you might be coming into this room and saying, gut level honest, Bethwyn, my faith's pretty low. Well, I want you to know that you can stand on my faith this morning, because I've got faith to believe for a breakthrough in your circumstance. Yeah? And you know, that's what it means when you're part of a family. When one is struggling, when one is really feeling low, another family member comes along and puts their arm around them and holds up their arm. And so I want you to know that whatever you're going through, that you're not alone, that God is acquainted with all of your ways. And in Psalm 138 and 139, I encourage you to read that when you get home. It says that he knows us completely. He knows the very core of us. And right now, our great intercessor Jesus goes to the Father on our behalf, and he is our advocate, he is our friend that sticks closer than a brother. And through every season of your life, all the things that you didn't see coming, He's never overwhelmed. He's never phased. He's always at work. Yeah? And you know, we sing that song, even when it seems like you're not working, you're working. Amen? So, this morning, I want to start to declare and to actually prophesy to those dry bones of your life that they are going to live again in Jesus' name. Now, my confidence comes through nothing of my own. Only my confidence comes on what I've seen God do over and over and over again, that He has proved Himself to be the way maker, the faithful advocate over and over again. And, you know, our Saviour Jesus died on the cross for every impossible situation represented in this room today. There is resurrection life right now because God specialises. I'm going to say that again. He specialises, like when you go to a specialist for a certain particular illness. Well, He's a specialist in turning graves into gardens. He's a specialist in causing those things that were dead to come back to life. Amen? His normal, yeah? His normal is taking those areas of your life and mine that are dead and dry, and He breathes His supernatural life back into them again. Impossible circumstances have never stopped God working. It's not been an obstacle or a hindrance to God. When He comes across an impossible situation in your life and mine, it doesn't alter anything. He just is at work. He's just got it. I've just got this. And scattered all through the Word of God, there is story after story, account after account of how God takes dead things and brings them back to life again. So are you ready, Real Life Church, this morning? This is not you're listening and I'm speaking. This is you're involved in this exchange this morning, because what we're doing is we're commanding those bones to live again. We're commanding those things that are dead in our life to rise up, to stand up and to live again in Jesus' name. So I want you to look up with the eye of faith and start to actually look at your impossibles, yeah? Those things which seem so remotely far away from ever coming and happening. And I want you to start commanding those areas to start to shift, to start to move. Amen? Now, the authority that you have is not your own. It comes through the blood of Jesus, through the cross of Jesus Christ, and you are in right standing with God to actually be able to command those things in your life. It's not dependent on your righteousness. It's dependent on His. Now, have an idea of this. Picture this. Jesus is crucified on Friday. And on Saturday, try and think about how all of Jesus' followers would have been feeling. They would have been mourning. They would have been deep in grief. They would have thought, well, it's over, it's finished. They didn't expect that the very next day there would be a resurrection. And I want to spur you on this morning with that whole thought and idea that as you're sitting on the 11th of July 2021 with your impossibilities, that your dry bones, just like when Jesus rose on that Sunday, that your Sunday is coming. Amen? Your Sunday is coming. In just one day, everything can turn around and change. One day. That's what God can do. We used to sing a song when I was growing up in church. It said, "It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do." Now, what are those areas? Maybe today you've got issues in your marriage. Maybe you have children who are addicted to drugs. Maybe you've got a health issue in your body that you need shifting and moving and restoring you back to good health. But the graves of your life can be transformed into gardens. And I know that there are many of you that can testify here how God has transformed and revolutionized your life and made it fruitful and productive again. So, picture this. This is the norm for God. His DNA screams at us resurrection life. He takes our ashes, our brokenness, and he makes it into something beautiful. He takes all of the damage that's been done to our hearts and our emotion, and he restores our soul. And what he does is it's nothing to do with anything of the natural. It's a supernatural life that is breathed back into your life. And those things that are dead, he's going to cause them in Jesus' name, and I prophesy it today, to live again. Now, I'm going to just share with you, I could actually spend the rest of my message telling you about how resurrection is the norm for God. But here's just a couple of the stories throughout, scattered throughout God's word, that talk all about how God asked people to pray resurrection life over bodies and they were brought back to life. In 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah cries out to the Lord to raise the widow of Zarephath's son back to life, and he comes back to life. And he takes him down, Elijah takes him down to his mother. Last time she saw him, he's dead, and now he's living again. Amen? In 2 Kings chapter 4, we read of how through Elisha's prayer, there is this wealthy couple of Shunem, and they have a son who is a gift because they couldn't have children. And Elisha's prayed for them to have this boy, and several years later, he's struck down with an illness and he dies. And Elisha comes again and prays, and this wealthy couple's son is brought back to life. We see in Luke chapter 7 that Jesus is in a funeral procession, and it's the son of a widow woman, and he just walks along to the body and he says, "Get up and walk." And can you imagine in a funeral procession what that must have looked like? But there's the dead body and everyone's mourning. All of a sudden he sits up, gets up and starts to walk. Woohoo! Would have loved to have been there for that. And I can tell you more stories about Tabitha in Joppa, how she was a very loved Christian woman. She helped everybody, but she dies. And so the Apostle Peter is called for, and as he prays for her, she comes back to life. Or I can tell you of Eutychus sitting on a window sill, and he falls asleep and falls out of the window to his death. Paul rushes outside, down the stairs, throws himself on the boy's body, and the boy comes back to life again. I'm going to say it again. I want you to get it right down deep in the core of you this morning, right inside your spirit, that resurrection is the norm for our God. He is not fazed by the impossible. And God is looking for us, his people today, to ignore what they see with their natural eye and start to speak and declare to their personal impossibilities and command them to live. Because we're not called to be dictated to by the natural realm. But as sons and daughters, we're called to look with the eye of faith to the supernatural realm. So there's the truth here. We're not saying that there's not truth in what your circumstance is. But there's a greater truth in operation. And that's the truth of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Yeah? And what he's looking for, he's wanting you and he's wanting me to stand up and to say to those dry bones of my life, live again. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, an earthquake actually happened. And many graves and tombs in Jerusalem were broken open. And then on Sunday, after Jesus' resurrection from the dead, all of these godly people who had died earlier on were raised to life and started to appear in the city. Can you imagine? You've been to their funeral and you're walking down the street. There they are. You see, he is still the great I am. He is not the great I was. He is not, his power has not diminished. His authority has not diminished. He is still the great I am. He is still the first and the last. He still is your Alpha and Omega. He still is the beginning and the end. He still is the all-sufficient one. He still is the God of plenty. He still is the way, the truth, and the life. He still is, Pastor Ken, the good shepherd, and he knows his sheep. And you know, his authority hasn't changed or diminished. You know, sometimes we can feel like, yeah, that's great, Bethwyn. Well, that was in the Bible and it's all, you know, terrific. But the Word of God says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want to testify that I am the recipient of generational resurrection. So my grandfather was run over by a mail truck in the war. My grandmother was called to come and say her last goodbyes to him. He wasn't supposed to last the night. This is when he was in his 30s. And he lived till he was 71 because God breathed his supernatural breath into my grandfather and caused him to continue to live and not die. Then my own dad, my own father, got a terrible tumour on his forehead. And my sister can remember people coming up to her and to my mum and putting their arms around them because he had a prognosis of death. He was going to die. It was a tumour right there. And God brought along a wonderful Christian surgeon. And my dad, who got that diagnosis in his 30s, lived till he was 88. Generational resurrection, causing those things that are dead, those things that are dry, and speaking and declaring and prophesying to them that they will live again. Amen? And then finally, you know, I've told you, I've shared this with you several times, my own brother-in-law was diagnosed with motor neuron disease, and people were, you know, saying to my sister, are you going to spend the last few months with him? She said, no. She goes, we're going to keep living. We're not going to die. We're going to keep living. And several months later, a whole group of neurologists got round his body and said there's inconsistencies with this diagnosis. And it was changed to motor neuropathy with block, and he lives on today, 18 years later, because God's resurrection power, the breath of God breathed into him, and even though he'd been declared that he was going to die, he lives. In Jesus' name. And I want you this morning to get hold of that, to understand that whatever your circumstances, whatever your situation is this morning, that there is generational resurrection for your family, that God wants to prove himself faithful, faithful, and more faithful. So what we're going to do is we're going to dig deep and we're going to go into the account this morning of the dry bones coming back to life again in Ezekiel. Who loves that passage of scripture? Get ready because we're going after miracles today. We're heading for a breakthrough in Jesus' name. I just haven't come here to entertain you with a nice message this morning. I've come for something far more life-changing and important. I've come for breakthrough this morning, yeah, because the life-giver, Jesus Christ, is here in the room and he wants to break into your situation, into your dry bones, and cause them to live again, Kerry. Amen? So here we are. We're found in Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 14. I'm not going to read it all out. It's going to be a little bit of summarizing. But it's Ezekiel gets a vision from God, and the setting is a valley full of dry bones. And God asks him and says, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And Ezekiel's response is, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." And we're picking this up from verse 4. It says, "Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.'" So Ezekiel obeys what God tells him to do in this vision. He prophesies and he starts to hear a noise. It's a rattle. It's a rattling sound, and the bones start to come together and form together with tendons and flesh. Then God says to prophesy the breath of God, and Ezekiel did it. And the whole valley of dry bones came to life and stood up upon their feet like a vast army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." Now, there's some unusual things. We've got donkeys talking, God using donkeys and all sorts of things in the Bible. A little bit left field, some of the stuff, but this is really odd imagery found in God's word. Skeletons. But what do these dry bones symbolize, and what does it mean for us as Christ followers today? Well, let's put some context to this whole passage of Scripture. So, what's happening in Israel's history at the time, we find this in chapter 36, Ezekiel proclaims a blessing to Israel and he prays over them that they will once again produce fruit, even though at the time Israel is in complete desolation. He asks a blessing that will see them re-inhabit their own towns and rebuild their ruins. So the Babylonians had taken several of their people, including Daniel and his friends, and they had become captives. Their city had been ruined and their temple had been destroyed. And they were devastated. They were a nation who were absolutely being ripped apart. They'd been destroyed. And restoration at that time in history seemed completely impossible. They were like dry bones. They were a dead nation. And if you were there at the time, if you were a news reporter reporting on the state of that whole political situation, you would say that there were no signs of life or recovery. Yeah? Anybody had that in their life? Ever looked at one of your situations and said there just doesn't seem to be any hope? It would take a supernatural miracle for them to rebuild all they had lost. And as I'm speaking to you this morning, I know that there are those of you who may be feeling exactly the same. I know there's those of you that have stood and believed and clung on to the promises of God, but have not yet seen the breakthrough or the fulfillment of what you've been crying out to God for. I've seen you thinking that, well, that's okay, that's great, Bethwyn, but it's impossible for me to rebuild what has been lost in my own life. But, you know, as I look around, I see so many of you that since I've been here for just over 2 years, I've heard your stories. And I've seen God rebuilding lives after drug abuse, after other addictions, and completely restoring people who were completely lost, who were dead, who were in a spiritual grave. And, you know, this morning, if you're one of those people, I'd love you just right now to yell out, hey, that was me, Bethwyn. Is there anybody this morning that's like, yeah, hey, yep, that was me. Yeah, you're talking about me. Amen. Thank you for that. That was my story. That was your story. And so what is meant by God giving Ezekiel this vision? Well, Ezekiel had witnessed Babylon destroying Jerusalem with his own eyes. His faith was way down there. He knew it was impossible to raise Israel from the dead, and it was impossible, just like the dry bones that God had given him this vision of in the valley. So when God challenges him with this question, he responds pretty honestly, actually, to God, because he's seen all of this destruction happen. And so the best he can come up with and answer God with is, well, God alone knows if these dry bones can live again. That was the answer of a guy who'd seen a lot of destruction. And God then says to Ezekiel, prophesy over these dry bones to attach themselves to one another. They do so, as I said, skin, tendons and muscles start to cover the skins that are reforming. But there is still no life in them. So then God takes it one step further. And he says to Ezekiel, breathe into those bodies. What happens? They spring to life, stand on their feet, and there is enough people for an entire army. Can you see what God is doing? You see, the word for breath in this verse is exactly the same one used in Genesis when God breathes life into Adam. But wait, there's even more significance to the valley of dry bones. Wait for this, because that's all happening in history in the Old Testament. Let's go into the New Testament, into Ephesians 2, and see the application for us right here today in verses 1 to 5. It says this, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who were disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive, made us come alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. We see that even though the Israelites had their physical homeland restored, they still had dry spiritual bones. So dead in sin, they needed a spiritual awakening, just like you and I did when we encountered Jesus. And we needed to be reconciled back to a full relationship with God. And how that happens is, of course, is that Jesus steps onto the scene. Hallelujah. And offers a new life to the dry bones through his own personal death and resurrection. And so too for us today. For anyone who believes in him and accepts him as their Lord and Saviour will receive this new life, the breath of God. Yeah? Taking all those things that were dead and causing them to live again. And what we also see is that God specializes in turning our graves into gardens. It doesn't matter how dry our bones have become. God can restore all things. Do you know what? You might have got so used to the dry bones of your life that they've actually become your norm. Yeah? And God's trying to say to you, hey, don't accept that. Yeah? I want to pour my oil onto those things that are dry. I want to pour my breath, my life-giving energy into those areas in your life that are dry. Just like he did with the Israelite captives in Babylon, he can breathe his resurrection life into the impossibilities of your life and cause them to live. Remember, I said earlier, God is not fazed or moved. He's not affected by how much we've messed up or fallen into sin. You may feel like I'm disqualified, I've stuffed up too badly. The stuff I've done can never be repaired. But you know, God is the great promise keeper. And if you have lost hope and are in despair, can I encourage you, shift your awareness. Stop focusing on and dwelling on the darkness and despair of your past and start looking with the eye of faith. Turn your worries and fears into faith and hope. Yeah? These three things remain: faith, hope, and love. Expect a resurrection. You see, your unmet expectations are the starting point. Yeah? I'm going to say that again. Expect a resurrection because your unmet expectations are the starting point. You know, you're sitting there this morning and you're saying, well, I don't have any faith left for my family. You don't really know the details of my whole journey, Bethwyn. Well, I do know this because my authority and my whole worldview and belief system stands on the word of God that says, I have been young and now I am old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. And as you begin to command and declare, you know, you sometimes can get the wrong idea, and I can too, that we have to make it happen. That as we start to declare it and decree it and prophesy it, that it's up to us to make it happen. It's not. He actually is the one that goes in and acts on our behalf. And so often what we do is we get caught up in the striving. You know, I've got to declare this and it's got to happen and I've got to do everything I can to make it happen and I'm striving. And God's saying, oh, are you exhausted yet? It's me. If you will declare it and prophesy it, if you will look with the eye of faith, I will do the work. Yeah? I will give you the desires of your heart. But we might as well forget all about Jesus dying on the cross if we're going to try and do it in our own strength, in our own works, that we're going to try and attain to this approval to get God to do what we want him to do. He says, will you rest? Yeah? Will you just declare and decree and prophesy in faith, in hope? And I am at work. I am at work. Even when it feels like I'm not working, I'm working. Amen.